We have in your word, your inspired word, the wonderful accounts of the Christmas story. We know that in the days we live, this story seems to be sidelined now. We thank you for the beautiful and wonderful words of Matthew 1 and chapter 2 and Luke 1 and 2, for how we read there, how it all happened, in all its beauty and simplicity, and yet how profound it was. And I pray for all of us here, even for my own heart, that we would not allow Christmas Day just to pass by. Help us to take in deeply, to drink deeply in the wonderful truth of your Son being born and why he was born. Help us to be touched afresh. May we really know the joy and the peace we ought to through Jesus. And we ask these things in your Son's name. Amen. Well, another Christmas is upon us. It's right upon us now. And I don't know about you, but as I reflect upon Christmas, I'm filled with joy and delight as I think about the Father's great gift and why Jesus came. But you know, as I get on, getting older, as I reflect upon this Christmas, I don't know how you feel, but I feel there's such a clash between where our world is at and what was proclaimed on that very first Christmas day. Do you get that too? Like, I look at this world and I think of how it's just so far away from what the heart and intention was of that first Christmas day. Let me explain it. I read the angel proclaiming to those shepherds, "Behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people, not just for the Jews, but everyone. For today in the town of David a Saviour has been born for you." And that ought to have set the world on fire in terms of having joy and delight because of what God had done. But you know, as well as I know, we live in a society that has plenty. We live in a world where there's still lots of good things, but there's a real lack of joy. There's a real lack of joy in people these days. Colin and I went past someone yesterday at the shopping centre. You could just see their face so downcast. You go shopping and you see people, it's Christmas time, but there's no joy. Where's the joy gone? There's little joy in our world today. And not only that, the angelic choir sang, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men and women." There the angelic choir are announcing to us how peace has come to us in the gift of Jesus. Peace they proclaim, peace on the earth. And yet, when we look at our world, when we look at our own society, there is a real lack of peace, is there not? What a world we live in, a real lack of peace. 2 years ago, the Bassanine Church of Christ choir at the Bassanine Carols sang a beautiful old carol. We don't sing it too often, and it's entitled, "I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day." Do you remember that? I love that carol. And it was written by a famous American poet, Henry Longfellow, on Christmas Day, 1863, so some time ago. And he also, like Charles Wesley, was inspired on this day to write a carol. But let me tell you the history behind why he wrote it. 2 years before he wrote this carol, his wife, unfortunately, was involved in a fire and she was seriously burnt and died. What pain would have filled Longfellow's heart? And also during the next few years, the Civil War had occurred in America, and there was the most shocking thing, Americans killing Americans, killing their own brothers in a most horrible war. And even his own son was shot and almost died. He saw the horrors of war in his own land. And on Christmas Day 1863, he was wrestling with the proclamation of what Christmas declares to us, and the sad reality of his country and his world, the world we live in. And that's why he wrote these words. "I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men." Second verse. "But from each blackened accursed mouth, the cannon thundered in the south, and with the sound, the carols drowned of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. What do you think of those words? As I reflect upon those words that he wrote so long ago, our world has only decayed since then, and there still is such a lack of peace and joy in this world. Hate is strong, and it's like our world, the way we live these days, it mocks the song that Christmas proclaims. There is trouble, not peace. There is sadness, not gladness. There is despair, not joy. He didn't give up, though. The next verse is quite profound. He writes these words in the fourth verse. Then peal the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor does he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail. With peace on earth, goodwill to men. What did he say that for? Because he realized no matter how terrible the circumstances of life, no matter how great the catastrophes, no matter what is going on, God is not dead. Isn't that wonderful to know? He's not asleep. And still he offers to broken people in a broken world the joy and peace of Christmas through his son Jesus. And one day there shall be a new earth where peace and joy shall abound forevermore. We're not there yet, but we can know it now through Jesus. And that's what caused him to write those wonderful words. So we can know and experience peace as Longfellow did. We can know and experience joy. The secret is knowing Jesus, knowing him. And if we don't know him, that's when we will not have peace and we will not have the joy that Christmas proclaims. This morning, I just want to explore with you those two great words. We've got one up here. Look, joy. Joy and peace. I wanted to explain to you why we should be filled with joy and peace as we celebrate another Christmas. The first thing I want to say to you all is that there should be great joy in our hearts when we consider the birth of Jesus, because his birth does something so amazing, very deep and personal. His birth tells us that you are of great worth. Do you get that? God gave the greatest gift to who? To us. To know, not just to everyone, to you personally. And you're meant to realize that you're of great worth to God. You're of greater worth to him than you could ever comprehend. He loves us so much. He cared for us so much. You're of such great worth that he gave his son. I love the carols. You look at the carols and you see, oh, there it is. It's mentioned there. Which carol mentions this thing? O Holy Night. The very first verse. O Holy Night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Saviour's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. There it is. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. I think those words are so well penned. Our soul feels worth because Jesus was born for you and me. He was born for us. It should fill our hearts with joy. What do you think? Secondly, we should know great joy as we think about Christmas and the giving of Jesus because of why he came. And I know we explored this yesterday at church on Sunday. I think of those great words by the angels. The angel who spoke to Joseph, he said to Joseph, Mary will bear a son and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. That's meant to be received with joy. This one is coming. This Jesus is coming. And he has come to save us from our sins. And of course, I've already read this in Luke chapter 2, 10 and 11. The angel said to the shepherds, Behold, I bring you good news of great joy for all the people. And we should ask the question, why? Why is it good news of great joy? Because today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born for you. He's Christ the Lord. There it is again, referred to the Saviour coming. And what a joy it is, I know for myself personally, what a joy it is to know that Jesus came into our world, into my world, to your world. and he came deliberately to save us. What does that mean? He came to deliver me from the wrong things that I've done, from being in trouble with God, for one day standing before his throne on the day of judgment and being condemned. The Bible talks about these things, being sentenced to eternity in hell. Jesus came to rescue me. He came to rescue you from that. What joy should fill our heart? What joy fills the heart of a person who is in jail and they are set free from their sentence? How much greater our joy when we think of what we've been set free through Jesus. He did it by coming into our world. He did it by coming into our world and dying upon a cross for us. And thirdly, we ought to have great joy in thinking of the Saviour's birth because he came to defeat our great enemy. He came to defeat death. Ever thought of it like that? I know people have lost loved ones this year, even in our own family. And it saddens us when they're not here for this Christmas. Praise the Lord that those ones who have passed on that I know of, they are believers in Jesus. They've gone home to heaven, even though we missed them. But I just love to think about how Jesus came into our world to set us free from death and to give us eternal life. Because Jesus came to do that. He came, he lived, he died, and he rose again in order to give us life, eternal life. In the carol, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, it says there in the third verse, Hail the Son of Righteousness, light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings, mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. It's caught in the carols. What a joy that he came to defeat death. He came to give us eternal life, fullness of life. This should fill us with great joy. I'm so glad he came. I'm so glad Jesus was born. It should fill us with joy unspeakable and full of glory. The problem is that we so often don't grasp these things. But let me now consider that other word, not joy now, but peace. We're meant to know a peace. And experience this peace, all because of what Jesus did in coming into our world. The angelic choir did sing those words, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men and women. What a proclamation. That angelic choir, magnificent it would have been. They proclaim, Glory to God. They are so ecstatic that the Saviour has been born for us. We should be more so. Because he was born for us, not for angels. And they declare that he had come to bring peace to this earth that is so troubled. And look at what it says there, goodwill to men and women. What that means is God's favor. They're saying to us, God's favor is upon you people, you descendants of Adam and Eve, you people who have blown it and turned your back on God. God's favour is upon you. Can you imagine the angels as they sing in this going, we can't believe it either. But that's how great God is. That's how amazing his love is. But let's really hit on that amazing verse, that little phrase, peace. Jesus came to bring peace. And the most important thing we need to understand about that is he came to bring peace between God and you. He came to bring peace between God and us. Jesus was born for this very purpose. And again, you know, we can just say these words. We will never appreciate what Jesus came to do unless we comprehend how things had happened between God and man. We need to remember that God is not, he's not cool when we turn our back to him and we hurt his heart and upset him because of the wrong things we do. We ended up becoming an enemy of God. And one whom God had to pour wrath on because of what we had done against him. But yet in his great love, God sent his son Jesus to make things better, to bring peace, to bring healing between God and us. That's why Jesus was born. He came to reconcile God and sinners. Oh, I've just read about that. We sang about it. There it is again. Hark the herald angels sing. What does it say? In the very first verse, Hark the herald angels sing, Glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild. God and sinners reconciled. There it is. It's captured in the carol. I find it amazing that all these wonderful carols, they still get played in the shopping centres. All these amazing words are declared, but the people don't hear. They don't understand what Christmas is all about. I think of the things that Jesus did to accomplish peace. Yes, he was born. The great Prince of Peace was born. But he knew why he was born. He knew that he was born to live amongst us and then die for us. And I think of how he accomplished peace for us. He accomplished peace for us by dying on a cross, bearing the sins of us, himself, and then being separated from his Father so that we might not be separated from the Father, that we might be reconciled to him. He experienced all that so that we might be able to have peace with God. He was born for this very purpose. He came to heal our broken relationship, to make us friends with God, to bring us into God's family, to make us God's great delight, his children, his beloved children. I can't help but quote again from Hark the Herald Angels Sing. It says there, "Hail the heavenly born Prince of Peace." Do you love that title there? Hail, that means praise, the heavenly born Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness, light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Jesus came to heal, and the most important thing, to heal our broken relationship with God, to bring us peace. And God's intention was not only to allow us to have peace with him through his Son, but then his whole plan was for us to then get on with each other. And that's what happens when you're right with God, when you have peace with God, you end up being peaceful toward other people. And this whole world should be full of peace now. Isn't that right? That's what God's great intention was. So what's gone wrong? What has gone wrong? Why is there a lack of peace in our world? Why is there a lack of joy in our society? Why? It's not because of God. He's not dead. He's not asleep. It's because of us. It's because of us. Just as there was no room for Jesus in the inn, there is no room for Jesus in most people's hearts. And it should make us cry and weep. People keep shutting him out. And that's why they do not have peace with God and the joy of the Lord bubbling inside them. That's why they have sadness in their life and brokenness still, because they have not allowed Jesus to come into their heart. They keep him distant. Our society is going further and further down that road of pushing Jesus out. And that's why our world becomes worse and worse. Jesus came into our world, but have you let him into your heart? I want to say absolutely, no matter how rich or mighty you might be, you will never know true peace and you'll never know true joy. You'll never know the Lord and the joy of being right with him until you let Jesus into your heart. He came for this very purpose, came into our world, but he wanted to actually come into our hearts. I trust that you have opened your heart to Jesus. If you haven't, I urge you to do that today. That'd be the greatest thing you could do, the best present of all. He came, the great gift of God, he came. But if you would allow him into your heart, you would receive the greatest joy and peace of all, the forgiveness of sins and the gift of eternal life. Wow, it's so lovely to reflect upon Christmas. What a wonderful thing that Jesus was born. I do sometimes think, imagine if he never came. Imagine if the Father thought, no, the world's too far gone. I shall not fulfill my promises. Imagine if he didn't come. How would it be in this world? I reckon we'd be pretty close to hell on earth. Praise God that Jesus came. And praise God for those of you, many of you, who have opened your heart to him and that you know what I'm talking about, peace and joy. May you know that peace and joy more and more in the days that we live. We're going to have the choir sing a lovely song. In the chorus it says, "Prepare him room, prepare him room. Let the King of glory
enter in. So please, would they come up, and they're going to share this song.